We're holding on Chaf Gimel Amud Bey's second line from the bottom. We moved to the Mishnah. we learned at the beginning of the Perek that there are various kinds of Nedarim that are not actually Chal, because even though the person said the formula of a Neder, he didn't sincerely intend for it to be a Neder. The first one of them, we said was Nidre Zeruzin, where a person makes a neder just to encourage the other person to do things his way, but not that he actually intended for the neder to be chal. The example we gave in the first Mishnah was that people are bargaining over an item. One says, I won't sell it for less than four dinarim. The other one says, I won't buy it for more than two. We say that all along they were willing to compromise on three, therefore their nedarim were not really a sincere neder. In our Mishnah, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov had continued. He said, asked also, here's another example, somebody who wants to make a neder to force his friend to eat by him. So he says, so Reuven says to Shimon, if you don't come and eat with me, then you will be usher to have hanal from my nechassim. So then we said, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that is also considered nidre zeruzin. So now the question is, do the other Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or not? Is it that we're saying it in Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's name and it means he's the one who happens to have said this, but everybody would agree with him? Or would it be that there's an actual machlokes over here? And the reason might be, the Rambam says, because it's one thing when it comes to bargaining over items, then yes, it's normal that people will use a neder like that. Therefore, we say they didn't really mean it as a neder. But maybe to say that somebody else should come and eat by him, maybe he is saying it b'dafka. Maybe it's not just a neder as a bargaining chip, but maybe he actually sincerely meant it. So that's the first question. The imtim salayma pligi, and if you're going to say that they do argue, then the question is, is the halacha like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or not? Now, the Rosh points out that in general, we say the Mishnah Rabbi Elazar kav v'naki. We usually say that the teachings of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov are kav. They're very few because you don't have very many of them, relatively speaking, in Shas compared to his colleagues, compared to the other Chachamim of his times. The other Talmudim of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, you find them much more often. So for him, you have much less. But Vinaki, what he says is clean in the sense that the halacha is always like him. Nevertheless, there are places where the halacha is not like him. In particular, the Rosh says over here. Here, the Chachamim's reason, if we say the Chachamim are arguing with him, there's a very logical reason to say that they would. Namely, what we just said, that only when it comes to bargaining over items would people make a neder like that and not mean it sincerely, just as a bargaining chip. Whereas when it comes to inviting somebody else, not. So maybe we would have reason, if we say the Chachamim disagree with him, to say the halacha is not like them. The Rosh himself also gives a different answer in his psukim on this, and in his psukim elsewhere in Shas. He says that there's an idea that the Rishonim say that when we say that his teachings are kav v'naki, the word kav is gematria 102, and it symbolizes that there are 102 places where the halacha is like him. Well, this halacha may not be one of those 102. Anyway, that's the question. So we have to figure out first whether Chachamim disagree with him, and that's going to consume the whole Amud, the whole Chafdalot Amud Aleph over here. We're going to be going through that and trying to figure that out. So Toshma, let's try to prove the Tanan. We learn in a Mishnah later in our Masechta, Ha'oim al-Chaveroi, Koinam Sha'eini Nanalach, or Sha'ni Nanalach, really, the Ram says, a koinam on what I would have hanal from you, im iat meitel levincha, if you don't take from my things on behalf of your son, kor shochitin shtei chavias shoyayin, a quart of wheat and two barrels of wine, which is a large amount. So in other words, Reuven is saying to Shimon, I insist that you take this wheat and this wine for your son. And if you don't want to take that, then I make the koinam that I will not be allowed to have hanah from you. So the Mishnah says later, further down on the Amud, in in connection with this, and you have an opposite kind of case where we're going to say soon, then the Ran mentions that there's Gemara in Gittin that says that that draws a distinction whether the child in question is samuch al shulchanu, whether he's actually still eating by his father's table and relying on him for support or not. Because then we can say that he's able to forego the gift and not have the neder take effect is going to depend on that. So we'll get into that point later. Anyway, so Reuben says to Shimon, I insist that you take this quart of wheat and these two barrels of wine for your son. And if you don't, then I am going to make a neder that you will be also to have hana from my nechassim. So the Mishnah continues, Hareze yochol lahatiris nidre shaloy api chacham. This person, Reuven, is able to be matir his neder without even a chacham. In other words, this is like the four nedarim that we're saying at the beginning of our parak. It's not really considered a neder in the first place. Because it has a built-in Pesach. Now, we talked to you the other day, you have to have a Pesach or Charata to be matir a neder. Here, the Pesach is so strong that it's not really considered, the Rosh says this is considered such a strong Pesach, as we're going to say in a second, that it's considered that it wasn't a neder in the first place. She yocholoi maloi, because Shimon can tell him, kluma marita elabashvok vaydi, what's the whole reason why you said chavdal and amalav? The whole reason why you said that you want to give me this wheat and this wine is for my covered, that you want to honor me with your gift. Zehu kvodi, you should know, this actually is my covered, when I turn down the gift. So why is that? How would that be his covered? So the Ram says, because people will see that, after all, people see that I'm important to you, you want to give me a present. So there'll be a bigger honor when people see that you want to give and I don't even want to receive it. So that'll be a bigger cover. The Rosh mentions also the point over here, you have a pasuk that says, Soina matonas yichya, a person who hates gifts, will live. So he says, look, you know, now I'll have more of a reputation as a Soina matonas, as somebody who doesn't like taking gifts, and therefore, that'll be my greater covering. So now the Gemara says, Taima de Omer Zehu Kvodi. Now, why are we saying that Shimon is able to be matter? That why are we saying that the neder is not chal? Because Shimon is able to say to Reuben, Zehu Kvodi, it's more of a covered to me to not accept this gift. Implying that if he didn't say that neder, then it would be a valid neder. And in fact, if Shimon does not give that answer, if Shimon doesn't accept the wheat and the wine for some other reason, then it sounds like the neder would be effective. So now we have to ask, who would that Mishnah later on, the Masechta, who would that be like? E, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, if you're going to say it's like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, why would it be a neder? Nidre Zeruzin Havi. According to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov in our Mishnah, that would be an example of Nidre Zeruzin. The same way as in our Mishnah, Rav Eliezer said that if Reuben wants to invite Shimon to eat by him, and he says, if you don't come and eat by me, then you're going to be under a neder from my nechassim. And we say that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't consider that a real neder because it's only nidre zeruzin. Well, the same thing that Reuven is saying to Shimon, if you don't take this wheat and this wine, then you're going to be under a neder from me. So it can't be according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov on the face of it. Doesn't that show that the Chachamim disagree with it? Hagoyes Habach actually adds the words Ella Lav Rabbanon. Wouldn't you have to say that Mishnah is specifically according to the Chachamim? And that would show that the Chachamim disagree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So you would have in our Mishnah, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov pulls such a thing Nidre Zeruzin. Later in the Masechta, you're going to have that the Chachamim consider a very similar case involving a gift to not be Nidre Zeruzin, but rather in principle it would be a full-fledged neder, except for the fact that he has the ability to say Zehu Kvodi, my greater honor, you're showing that I'll have greater honor from not accepting your gift than from accepting the gift. So only because of that is the neder bottle. So that shows that the Chachamim disagree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. They would say that in a case like our Mishnah, where you don't have that consideration, then in fact it would be a valid neder. So the Gemara says, lo, the Gemara says, lo, olam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Not necessarily. We could say that that later Mishnah goes like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, meaning not exclusively like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but also like him, because right now we're trying to say that maybe the Chachamim don't disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov at all. So we could say that that later Mishnah goes like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov of our Mishnah, and that maybe the Chachamim do not disagree with that. Because you could say, murder Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov behind the Nidra Havi. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov might agree when it comes to that case of the quart of wheat and the two barrels of wine, the Nidra Havi, where Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would agree that unless he says, Zeu Kvodi, unless he says, this is my covenant to not accept the gift, it could be considered a neder. De Omale, because after all, Shimon can say, Loi Talbano, after all, Shimon can say, when Shimon says, Zeu Kvodi, it doesn't just mean that, what it means is, in effect, he's saying, look, I'm not like a dog, where you give him and he doesn't give anything back to you. De Mishaninen Minoch, Veloi Mishanis Minoi, that I'm having Hanoah from you and you're not having Hanoah from me. So in other words, what are we saying over here? Reuben was saying to Shimon, I want you to accept this gift, and if not, then you're also to have Hanoah from me. Because the point is that Reuben can say, you know what, I insist that you accept this gift, otherwise it's not right. Otherwise it's not right. You're giving me so much, because why would I be giving you this big gift if I didn't owe you one for previous favors that you did me? So on the contrary, you're giving me so much. I want to give you something. I don't want to be like a dog. So therefore, you could say that that's a stronger reason. In our Mishnah, when Reuben is inviting Shimon for a meal, that's not necessarily such a big thing. We can say it's not really considered a neder. It's only nidre zirusin. But to offer him such a big gift, so actually, Ran brings two explanations. The first explanation is that, what are we saying over here? What's happening is that he's saying, I don't want to have any more. Reuben is saying, koinam she'eni nenaloch, that a koinam on what I would have hanah from you. So it's not that he's saying that my nechosim should be also to you, Shimon. On the contrary, he's saying your nechosim, Shimon, will be also to me if you don't accept this gift. So the first explanation of the Ran is that the difference is, in our Mishnah, the expression was that he says, he's saying, my nechosim will be also to you if you don't come and eat by me. So in other words, Reuben is saying to Shimon, I want you to eat by me, and if not, then you're going to be also in my nechosim. Here it's the other way around. Here Reuben is saying, I will be also in your nechosim if you don't accept this gift. Meaning, therefore, we have what we're saying in the Gemara over here, that he can say, listen, if you don't accept this gift, then I feel like I'm being a dog. I'm accepting so much from you, and you're not, I'm accepting so much from you. You've done me favors up until now. You've allowed me to have enough from your nechosim, and you're not allowing me to give you anything. So if you don't allow me to give you something, then that's it. I'm swearing off your nechosim. So therefore, Sir Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov can consider that a valid neder more than in our Mishnah, where it's the other way around, where Reuven is saying, Shimon, if you don't come eat by me, then your then my nechosim are also to you. Then you can't say that he's saying that that if you don't accept my invitation, then I feel like a dog.
What's the characteristic of a dog?
You get a dog takes and doesn't give. A dog? No, a professional is even a domestic dog. I mean, it does something, but not necessarily. Well, maybe, I don't know. But the point is that a dog is, it's a good question why the Gemara is using a dog as a symbol of this. But the point is that you sometimes find you give a dog something and then he doesn't really reciprocate. Sometimes you have, of course, there are very loyal dogs out there, but not always, I guess. Anyway, the point is, again, in our Mishnah, Reuven is saying to Shimon that I want to give you something, and namely, I want to invite you to a meal, and if you don't accept it, then my nechosim will be also to you. So that we could say is only Nidre Zirusin, because who would say such a thing seriously? Here, in the Mishnah that we're quoting from later in the Masechta, we can argue it's the other way around. He's saying, if you don't accept this gift, your Nechasim will be also to me. That could be a stronger Neder, and even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov might agree that such a thing is an actual Neder, not just Nidre Zirusin. That's the Ran's first explanation. Then the second explanation is that here we're talking about it's a large gift. Now, why would he be giving him such a large gift? Must be because the other person must have previously done a tremendous favor for him. So now, when it comes to inviting somebody for a meal, people invite somebody else for a meal all the time, just because they're acquaintances, not because they're really good friends. But to give somebody a quart of wheat and two barrels of wine, like we're saying later in the Mishnah, that you would do only if the person had done you a tremendous favor. So therefore, there's much more of a reason for him, for us to say that that should be considered a sincere neder, that he should mean that if you don't accept this gift, then it shows that our relationship is only one-sided, and I don't want to accept any further favors from you as long as you don't want to do that. So now we say later in the Mishnah that Shimon could say, you know what, it's my greater covet is not to, thank you very much, but my greater covet is not to accept the gift. Only because of that is it not a valid neder. But if he doesn't say that, then yes, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov might agree that that is a valid neder. So therefore, there's no proof from that Mishnah one way or the other, whether the Chachamim agree or whether the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or not. Maybe they agree with him and that Mishnah is according to everybody, or maybe not, and that Mishnah is only according to the Chachamim. Okay, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. That same Mishnah continues, Ha'omel Chaver Koinam Sha'ata Nenisli, the other way around, here it's the opposite. Reuven says to Shimon, a Koinam, that you will be also to have Hana from me in the future, im i'ata noisin with me, kur shochitim ushtei chavis shoyayim, if you don't give my son a quart of wheat and two barrels of wine. So here it's the other way around. Before it was Reuven was offering the gift to Shimon and saying, Shimon, if you don't accept that gift, then from now on I don't want to have any hana from you, because then I feel like I'm taking too much from you and not giving anything. Here it's the other way around. He says to Shimon, you've been taking a lot from me and you haven't been giving me anything. So now I'm going to make this neder unless you give my son these items. So now the Mishnah says, Rav Meir Omer, Rav Meir Oiser, rather, Rav Meir says that he, that he says, in fact, he would be Oiser until he actually gives it. In other words, Rav Meir considers that a full fledged neder, not just Nidre Zirozin. No, in that case also he can be matir as neder even without a chacham, because again the neder has a very strong built-in pesach to it. Because eventually Reuven can say, you know what? I'm willing to consider it as though I actually accepted that, as though I actually received that reed and that wine. The Ran brings actually from the Yerushalmi that Reb Meir would actually argue in both cases. We had the first case where the Meir doesn't say anything. It was a Sam Mishnah. Then we have the second case over here where Reb Meir is disagreeing. So the Ran brings from the Yerushalmi that in fact Reb Meir would argue in the first case as well. Because you could have a case where nobody says anything about covered. Nobody says it's my covered to give you, and the other one says it's my covered not to receive from you. And then Reb Meir would say that nevertheless we consider it as though Reb Meir would say we consider it as though there's a covered involved, or Reb Meir would say that if they don't say anything, then each one is saying it's because of my cupboard, and the Chachamim would say, you know what, one of them is actually saying that it's your cupboard. You're trying to accomplish cupboard for yourself by giving this to me, and I don't want that cupboard. So the Yerushalmi said that a mayor, in fact, would disagree in the Reisha, which we quoted before as well. On the other hand, there are other Rishonim who say that maybe they learn differently based on our Gemara over here, and they say that maybe Reb Meir would disagree only in the Sefer. Anyway, um, so again, in the Sefer that we're quoting now, it's Reuven wants to receive these things, and he says, if you don't give me these things, then you are also to have hana from me from now on. And the Chum say that this is considered a neder with a built-in pesach, because you can say Harenu Kileis Kabalti. So now here's where the Ran brings the detail from a Gemara in Gittin, which talks about this in a completely different context, brings in this Mishnah and explains it, that we're talking about over there specifically where the son, where Reuven is saying, I want this wheat and this wine on behalf of my son. This son is actually living at home, or not living at home, whatever, he's supported by his father Reuven. So therefore, now Reuven himself is the one who was standing to receive it on behalf of his son. Therefore, he's able to say, he's kabalti, it's considered as though I received it. On the other hand, if the son is not living with him anymore, then no. If the son is not being supported by him anymore, rather, then no. Then we wouldn't say that, because how can Reuven forego it? He originally said the neder that he wants that he's going to ask his Shimon from him unless Shimon gives his son. Well, his son is an independent third party, so he can't be mocked. The neder now does not have that built-in pesach anymore, because he can't say that I received it. What do you mean? It's not you who needs to receive it. It's your son. And vice versa. In other words, then the sons, then if the son wants to say Harenu Kileis Kabalti, then that would work. The Ran also brings from the Rashba that this concept of saying Hiskabalti only applies when it comes to items that a person might want to receive. Like we're talking about over here, wheat and wine. What about, for example, if it was a matter of a Maisa? What if, for example, Reuven says to Shimon, you will be also in my Nechasim if you don't do such and such? Can Reuven later on say, I consider it as if you did that? He says that for example, let's say, imagine that Reuven says to Shimon, he gives an example, Reuven says to Shimon, if you don't go with me on this and this trip, then you are also from my nechassim. So now, if Shimon decides not to go on the trip in the end, can Reuven say, you know what, I'm willing to consider as though you went with me? He brings from the Ran brings from the Rashba that no, you can't say that. You can't say Harenu Ki'ilu, because the fact is you didn't go. When it comes to wheat and wine or other items like that, then you can say Harenu Kileis Kabalti, because then in effect we can say, listen, you know, I'm willing to consider as though I received it and then I returned it right back to you, and it's called what we called at the end of Ksubas, we learned about Hafuchi Matrasa, why bother switching around the bags from one shoulder to another? In other words, what would be the point that Reuven should have to receive these items from Shimon and then he's going to gift them right back to him, so therefore that can be Chal. Then the Ran says that other Rishonim say that no, even when it comes to a Maisa, you could say that. In any case, the point is that, again, so you have that second part of the Mishnah where you have Rav Meir's opinion, and then you have the Chachamim that say that he can say Ke'ilu is Kabalti. Again, Taima de Omer Harenu Ke'ilu is Kabalti. So only because he's able to say that I consider it as though I received it, only because of that does it seem that we're saying that therefore it's not a valid neder, and it has a built-in Pesach. Holad Bafi Neder, implying if it weren't for that, it would be a neder. So let's say, for example, if we follow the Rashba that's brought in the Ran, if it were to be that Reuven was telling Shimon, I insist that you go with me on this trip, and if not, then you're also to have anav from my nechassim, since according to the Rashba, we can't say Harenu Kileis Kabalti, then therefore it would be a valid neder. and if you want to be matir neder, you'd have to go to a chacham and do all the usual things. So now, again, according to the second explanation in the Ran, okay, so we're not talking about that. We're saying it would work even in the case of a Maisa, but the point still remains, in other words, that if he doesn't say Ki'ilu is Kabalti, if he doesn't say I consider as though I received it, then it would in fact be a valid neder. Now, again, Mani, who would that be like? Either of Elazman Yaakov, if that Mishnah is like Rebbe Elazman Yaakov, Nidre Zeruzin happened. Shouldn't it be considered Nidre Zeruzin just like an on Mishnah, just like, again, when Reuven wants to invite Shimon and he says, if you don't come to eat by me, then you will be also, then I will be also in the, if you don't come and eat by me, then you will be also in my nechassim. Shouldn't it be the same thing? And shouldn't it be the same thing then? If Reuven is saying to Shimon, I demand that you give me this wheat and this wine, and if not, then you are also in my nechassim. Shouldn't it be the same kind of thing, we would assume? So, Elolav Rabbanon. So shouldn't we have to say that later Mishnah is according to the Chachamim? or Pligi, in which case that shows that the Chachamim do disagree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So in other words, they would disagree with him in the case of On Mishnah as well. They would say that On Mishnah is not in fact an example of Nidrei Zeruzin, but rather a full-fledged Neder. So when you're able to say Ki'ilu Iskabalti, then fine, that's an exception. In the case of On Mishnah, you can't necessarily say Ki'ilu Iskabalti, or maybe he doesn't say Ki'ilu Iskabalti. Shimon doesn't say, I consider it as though I ate by you. So therefore, it would maybe be a Neder. And the answer is Loi, La'olam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. No, you could say that that later Mishnah is also like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Umoide Rabbi Eliezer behind the Nidra Habi, because Rabbi Eliezer will agree that that Nidra, that that case later on, when he says, I want you to give me for my son wine and wheat. And if you don't, then you're also from my Nechosim, because here it's the flip side of what we said before about being like a dog. Mishum de Omale Lav Malkano, Ruven can say to Shimon, listen, I'm not a king, Yamahanino Loch Batla Mahanasli. I'm giving you lots of Hana, you're not giving me anything. You're a relationship has to be a two-way street. So therefore, so the same way, the flip side, in the first case we said it was he can say, I'm not a dog. I don't want to keep receiving from you and I never give you anything. Therefore I insist on giving you something, and if not, then I'm gonna make your nechosim also to me, and that way, so then we can say the later Mishnah says that ordinarily that would be considered a neder. However, if Shimon says zehu kvoidi, that's more of a covered for me to not to accept it because I don't want to accept gifts. Then we can say we can say it's not a valid neder. And similarly over here, if Ruvain eventually says, Harena Kede is Kabalti, I'm willing to consider as though I receive the wheat and the wine, then fine. But otherwise, it would be a neder. Even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov might agree to it, because again, unlike in Om Mishnah, where it's all a one-way thing, Ruvain is saying to Shimon, I want you to come and eat by me. And if not, you are also Tabat Nah from my Nechosim. So according to the first explanation in the Ran before, the vote was, there's a difference, who is answering what to himself. In that case, he's saying, you are going to be also from my Nechosim. In this case also, fine, he's saying you should be also in my Nechosim, but the point is that it's a minor thing, it's a small thing to invite somebody for a meal. It doesn't necessarily involve that there were big favors involved previously, and therefore we can say that it's only, therefore Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would hold such a thing as only Nidrei Zeruzin. But now, when it comes to that thing about the wheat and the wine, which is a much bigger thing, then we would assume that he really means it as a sincere neder, and the only way to get around it is to say Ki'ilu Iskabalti, as though I'm willing to consider, after all, as though I received the wheat and the wine, and therefore that the neder should not be chal because of that. So we could still say that later Mishnah goes also according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and therefore that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim are not necessarily arguing. Maybe in On Mishnah, they would both agree that it is considered Nidrei Zeruzin. And the Mishnah, later on, in the Masechta, they would, about the wheat and the wine, they would not consider it Nidrei Zeruzin, because there you're talking about a bi-directional relationship, or because there you're talking about a much bigger gift. So the Gemara continues. Amalei makshisha breder of chista v'rav Ashi. Malkshisha, the son of Rav Chista, says to Rav Ashi, Toshma, let's bring another proof from a Mishnah later on in our parish. This Malkshisha, by the way, is an interesting thing. Rashi and Tosfos would point out in some other places in Shas, Kshisha literally means the elder. So the Gemara in some places mentions that Rav Chista actually had two sons named Malyunuka and Malkshisha, which means the younger Rebbe and the elder Rebbe. So what does that mean? Does it mean so apparently what it is they both have the same name, and they were distinguished by one being called the younger and one being called the older. Is it that the younger one was called Yanuka and the older one was called Kshisha, or is it actually Tosfos brings up and in one place the other way around? Mao Yanuka was actually the older one. He's called that because he was born when Rav Chista was much younger. When his father, Rav Chista, was much younger, therefore he was called Mao Yanuka. Mao Kshisha then would be the younger brother who was born when Rav Chista was already old, and therefore he's called Mao Kshisha. Very confusing. It seems odd that two people with the two brothers would have the same name, but it seems there may have been such a possibility. You actually find in Divrei Hayomim, you find when it lists David HaMelech's sons, you find a couple of them that seem to share the same name. Mephoshet, but when they would say it may be that one of them passed away and he reused the name for another son. But Lav Davka, it could be that the two of them were living simultaneously and both have the same name. You don't find people doing that nowadays, but you know, there's lots of menhagim that have changed between now and then.
Could be they were brothers from the same mother.
Could be a brothers from different mothers. You mean? Could be. Other instances where two brothers are called the same name? It's a good question. I'm not sure, but apparently this is how it was, which is why they're distinguished as Mal Yinuka and Mal Kshisha. Anyway, so Mal Kshisha said, the son of Rav Chista says to Rav Ashi Toshma, let's bring another proof. Later on in our Mishnah, we learn, in our Perek, we learn, now we said at the beginning of the Perek, that there are four kinds of Nidarim that we don't need a Sheilas Chacham, because we said they weren't really meant as sincere Nedarim in the first place. One of them was called Nidrei Oinsin, a neder where you couldn't keep it because of an oinus. So what does that mean? An example is, Hidirei Chaveira Sheyechal Etzloi. Suppose that Reuven made a neder, put Shimon under a neder to go, to come and eat by him. So right now, the Gemara is understanding that Reuven is saying to Shimon, you come and eat by me, or else you are also in my nechassim, which would be similar to our Mishnah. So the Mishnah continues, v'cholavu, later on, if Reuven becomes sick, and therefore he has to call things off, or cholavnoi, cholavu would be the pashtus that Shimon became sick. So Shimon was sick, and therefore he couldn't make it after all. Or Shimon's son became sick, and therefore again he had to cancel. Or river stopped him, the river was overflowing and he couldn't cross. So those would be examples of Nidrei Oinsin. So we say Shimon is not usher to have anah from Reuven and Nechassim because the neder was a valid neder, but it wasn't meant to include cases of oinus like that. So, implying holav hochi nederu, implying if there was no onus, if Shimon just decided he doesn't want to show up to Reuven's house for the meal, then it would be a valid neder. Now mani. So Makshisha says, who would that Mishnah be like? If it would be like the Belezman Yaakov or our Mishnah, then what's the problem? Nidre Zeruzin Havi. Isn't that example of Nidre Zeruzin? Because isn't that basically the same case as our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar Yaakov said, Reuben says to Shimon, if you don't come eat by my nechassim, if you don't come and eat by me, then you are also in my nechassim. And here he's saying the same thing. And yet later on in the Perek it's saying, only because Shimon couldn't make it because of an unavoidable onus, only therefore is it not a neder, implying otherwise it would have been a valid neder. Gilyan Ashas actually points out that the Gemara could have answered maybe a different way. We learned at the beginning of the Perek, when we were talking about the people bargaining over the item, that Ran brought up a point over there called Mamid, where we said that if when they're first bargaining, if Reuven the seller says, I won't sell for less than four, and Shimon says, I won't buy for less than two, and they compromise on three, that's fine. But if we said it to begin with, Reuven says, I'm absolutely not selling less than four. I don't care what you say. That's called Mamid. And then we say, if he ends up selling less than that, then in fact, the neder is valid. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Why don't we say that in our Mishnah, we're talking about there's no Mamid. And later on, we're talking about there is Mamid, and that would be different. So Gilyan HaShas, Rabbi Akiva Eger leaves it in Sarachiyu. But anyway, the Gemara is not accepting such a distinction, maybe because then the Mishnah should have specified. Anyway, so Elo Lav Rabbanon. So wouldn't we have to say that later Mishnah in the Perek is according to the Rabbanon? So in our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that such a thing as Nidrei Zeruzin. The Chachamim are saying it's not. It's considered a full-fledged neder. Only if then there's an oinus, then fine. We can say it's not Nidrei Zeruzin. It now becomes Nidrei Oinsin. And therefore the result is that it's not Chal. So then we see that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The answer is, lo'olam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, not necessarily. We could say even that later Mishnah goes like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because the reason why he wouldn't call that later one, Nidrei Zeruzin, or mi sabret da adre mizamna lizmina, you're thinking that the one who wants to invite him, Reuven, is putting Shimon under a neder and saying, you, Shimon, will be also to have anah for my nechassim. Loi, no, it could be the other way around. Dizamina adre lemizamna. It would be that because then, if we did like that, then yes, it would be exactly like our Mishnah in Nidrei Zeruzin. It would be that Shimon himself asks Reuven to make such a neder to make him also in his nechassim. That's how the Ram learns, and then why would he do that? So the case is that Reuven says to Shimon, so Shimon starts by asking Reuven, Mizamnas Lila Sudasif, are you going to invite me to your party? Amalei Ein, and Reuven says yes. So then Shimon says, Neder ze alacha. In that case, take a neder on yourself that your nechassim will be also to me, or my nechassim will be also to you if you don't do that. And then and Reuven does that. Now, why would he do that? In other words, the Rosh explains that, let's say, for example, that they want to invite Shimon to a different party. Levi also wants to invite Shimon to his party. So Shimon is saying to Reuven, I want you not only to invite me to your party, I want you to back it up with a shvua. So that way I have a built-in excuse. When Levi comes and invites him to his party, I'd rather go to yours, and that way I can say I can't. I'm under a neder to Reuven, then I'm going to go to his party. So unlike in our Mishnah, where Reuven himself initiated the neder, here we're talking about the neder was initiated by Shimon asking Reuven to do that. There are other explanations that, in fact, it's Shimon in the case in the Mishnah later on who made the neder rather than Reuven. Whatever the case, the point is it wasn't initiated by Reuven, unlike in our Mishnah. So sure enough, he makes the neder. V'cholahu, now if Shimon is sick, or shechol abnoi, or his son is sick, or sheikhoi nahar, or a river prevents him from coming, harei le nidre oinus, and then it's a nidre oinus. So in other words, the answer is that our Mishnah versus that later Mishnah in the Perek are talking about two different cases. Our Mishnah is talking about where Reuven initiated the neder. The Mishnah later on is talking about where Shimon initiated the neder, or even where Shimon himself made the neder, as the case may be. The point is, therefore, so now we can't say that would be an example of Nidre Zeruzin. Why would Shimon be making a neder to force Reuven to invite him to his party? That would be a real full-fledged neder, except that then there's an oinus, and therefore we say the neder is not chal. So we still don't have to say that the Chachamim disagree. Maybe they would agree that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in our Mishnah is a valid neder. In the later Mishnah of Nidre Onsin, we would say it wasn't a valid neder. It was only Nidre Zeruzin. In the later Mishnah, it would actually be a valid neder because Shimon made it himself, or Shimon requested of Reuven to make that neder. And it would have been a neder except for that then there's an oinus later on. And that allows us to cancel the neder. So we still don't have to say that there's machloikus about either of those cases.
You don't have to do it by Rav, you do it yourself, right?
So that's the point. When we say in the cases where we say the Abba Nedarim, we're saying you don't need She'ela L'Chacham at all. That's actually been discussed on Chafala Hamad Beis at the beginning of the parak. We said Rav Asi had said, you do, you still need She'ela L'Chacham. We said Mephoshim said there, maybe Midrabanon, and Shmuel disagreed with that and said, no, since the Mishnah says Abba Nedarim, since the Mishnah had started out, Abba Nedarim, Ein Srichin, the expression is Abba Nedarim, Hitiru Chacham. There are four nedarim that the chachamim would matter. That implies you don't even need to be matter neder on them. You don't need to go to a chacham at all. When there was nidre zeruzin or nidre oinsin, or any of the other ones that we're going to discuss in our parak, you don't need a chacham at all. The halacha is, yeah. So still no proof whether the chachamim disagree with Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. The Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring a proof from a brisa. The Brisa says, yes, Rav Kain, Omer Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, beyond what Rav Elazar ben Yaakov said before about where Reuven wants to invite Shimon for a meal. He goes beyond that. He says, Reuven says to Shimon, a koinam on anything that I would have hanah from you, meaning I am asking myself to have hanah from any of your nechassim. Im iatim sereach etzli, if you don't come and be a guest, Wendy, but toisalimi pas chama, betishdini kois chamin, and eat some hot fresh bread and drink a hot drink with me, v'halah hikbid connectoi, the other person, Shimon, is machbid against him, and does not want to be a guest by him, or it could even be that it means that Shimon actually made a reciprocal neder saying, I won't eat by you. Then, af elam nidre zeruzin, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, even that is considered nidre zeruzin. So in other words, even though, it, so in our Mishnah, So in our Mishnah, we had the point was that Reuven was saying, I want you to eat by me. And he's saying, if not, then you're also in my nechasim. Fine, we can say that's only nidrei zeruzin. A person wouldn't seriously ask the other guy to have hanav from his nechasim just because he turns down his invitation. Here we're saying he wants to ask his own nechasim on the other guy. We have the argument that we said earlier on the Amud that Reuven can say, you know what, I'm not a dog. I don't want to keep on receiving from you and not taking. Therefore, I want to give you. I want to reciprocate to you by giving you this meal, by giving you this hot food. And if not, then I refuse to have any hanah from you in the future. Even so, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that it's nidrei zeruzin. Which means, by the way, the Ran says, when we said before, that we said earlier on the Omud, when we use the argument of lav kalba ano, I'm not a dog, and we use that to try to fa'enfil one of the cases involving, we could say that one of the Mishnayos that we quoted before is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So now the Ran points out, actually, that's not the truth. Now, based on what we see, the answer is that's not the distinction, that in fact, the Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is saying, even in that case, it's only nidrei zeruzin. This argument of lava not kalba, I'm not a dog, I don't want to have anah without giving you something back, is not really a valid thing. Either way, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov calls it nidrei zeruzin. Then the Ran goes on to say, if the distinction was between a big gift and a small gift, then the point is, we're saying he mentions the specific things that he wants to give the other guy. I want to give you hot food and a hot drink. You would think maybe he's saying so particularly, maybe it's not just nidrei zeruzin, maybe it's just maybe it is a real honest to goodness matter, and still we're saying that not. So Rav Elazar ben Yaakov calls it nidrei zeruzin, v'loy hodu lo chachamim. Now the chachamim do not agree with him on that should be considered nidrei zeruzin. They consider that the argument of lava no kalba is a valid argument, and therefore, in other words, that it is a sincere neder. I don't want to keep on receiving hanah from you if you don't want to accept some kind of hanah from me coming to my house and having hot food and a hot drink. So, my loy hodu le chachamim. So when we say the chachamim don't agree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, what do we mean? Lav da'afilu v'kamaisa. Wouldn't that mean the chachamim disagree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov even in the first case, namely the case of our Mishnah? Because again, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is saying the b'raisa, yes, it came. Beyond that, not only do I say in the case of our Mishnah that it's called nidrei zeruzin, but even in the case of the b'raisa, even though there's more of a svara to say lava not kalba, I'm not a dog, nevertheless, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov still considers that it only nidrei zeruzin. So now, if we're saying the chachamim disagree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, shouldn't we assume that that means that it disagree with him in both cases? In the case of the Mishnah, where he's saying, come eat by me, and if not, then you are also in my nechasim. Or the case of the Braisa, where he says, come eat with me, and if not, I am also in your nechasim. It sounds like the chachamim disagree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov on both of them. So then it shows that the chachamim disagree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, yes, Shmamina. So now we actually have two different Girsois over here. The Girsa that we have in front of us in the Gemara is Shmamina, that we have now shown that the Chachamim disagree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So now the Ran brings there are two different Girsois. So one Girsa is the way we have it over here, Shmamina. The other Girsa is that the other Girsa is Loi B'Vasraisa, not necessarily the Chachamim, maybe disagreeing with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, only in the second case, only in the case of the Braisa, but not in the first case. Shmamina literally means let's hear from, we can understand from this that that's how it is. So if we say Shmamina, then it means that we can prove from this that yes, the Chachamim disagree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov on both cases. And Tosfos Reed explains that according to that Girsa, the point would be, because otherwise the expression in the Braisa should have been something like, V'loy hodu le chachamim bazeh, the Chum didn't agree with him on this one, implying that they agree with him on the first one. The fact that it doesn't say that seems to imply that they disagree with him on both cases. However, the other Girsa that the Ran brings is Loi Bebasmaisa, that no, that's not necessarily a valid deal. Maybe, in fact, they disagree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov only in the second case of the Braisa and not in the first case of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, my havi Allah, what's the bottom line? Now here, the my havi Allah is again, what that means is going to depend on the two girsos. If we say that we have not proved whether the Chachamim argue with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov on the first one, then the question is, well, what's the bottom line? Can we show that they do argue with him on the first one or not? Or if we say that the girsa was that, no, they argue with him only on the second one, then the question would be, okay, in that second one, who is the halacha like? In the case of the Braisa, where he says, if you don't eat by me, then you are also in my Nechasim, that's the case of the Mishnah. The case of the Braisa is, if you don't eat by me, then I am also in your Nechasim, because I don't want to be like a dog. If we say the Chachamim are disagreeing with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, only in that case, is the Halacha like them in that? Or if we say that they're disagreeing in both cases, can we show that they're arguing in both, and can we show who the Halacha is like? So the Gemara says, Toshma, the Amr Rav Huna, Halacha, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Rav Huna says that the Halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, yes, the Ran first explains that the Gemara knew that Rav Huna is referring even to the first case. So if he says the Halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, implies that they are in fact, or that Rav Huna knows that they are in fact arguing in both cases, and that the Halacha would be like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So in other words, we would realize from that that they are arguing in both. According to the second explanation in the Ran, what we're saying is, no, it's true that they were only arguing on the second case, but we're saying the Halacha is like him in the second case, and when it comes to the first one, it doesn't really matter. Or the Chachamim arguing with him in the Mishnah or not, doesn't matter. Rav Huna is telling us the Halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov anyway. Even though it's a yachid, you say Mishnah Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanah. The Ran also points out, by the way, that there's a strong reason to say why Rav Huna would be referring to the Mishnah and not to the Braisa, because we know the Amoraim were familiar with all the Mishnahs. They were not familiar with all the Braisas. So if he's saying generically Halacha Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, we have every right to assume that he means in what we're familiar with that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov said, namely the Mishnah. So that could show that he means that they do argue in both cases, the Mishnah and the Braisa, whichever, whether Reuben is saying you will be also in my Nechasim, or I will be also in your Nechasim, and either way, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, either way, the Chum would be disagreeing with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov in both, and say that it's not new Grizzly Ruzin, and Rav Huna would be telling us the Halacha is like it. And the Gemara finishes off. Rav Abba says the same thing. The Halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So that's, again, it could either mean that they're arguing in both and that the Halacha is like him in both. Or it could mean that they're arguing only in the second case, and in the first case it's not even necessary to say because nobody argues with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov anyway. Okay. So that takes care of Nidrei Zivutin. Now, the second one that we had in the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak was the second one of the Abba Nadarim that don't need a Sheva L'Chacham is Nidrei Havai. The second one where we said that Hitiru Chachamim, that the Chacham will matter them. And we said, again, according to Rav Asi at the beginning of the parak, we said maybe Nidrei Rabbanon, you would need to be matter Nidrei on them. And then Shmuel had said that not, and the Halacha is like Shmuel. So Nidrei Havai, the second one we said was the Dorim of Havai, which Havai means guzma, means exaggerating. Or we said at the beginning of the parak, the Ran brought from Targum that Havai can mean empty Nidorim. So examples of that. Omar, koinam, suppose a person says a koinam, the Loshan of a Neder, im loira isi baderach hazeh ka'ula mitzrayim. If I did not see on this road a number of people as large as the number of people who left Mitzrayim, 600,000. So even if there weren't literally 600,000 people over there, the neder is not chal, because he just meant to say he was exaggerating. He meant that there were a lot of people there, even though it wasn't anywhere near Ka'ula Mitzrayim. Or another example, im loira isi nachash kekoras beis habad. Another example would be if he says, if I didn't see a snake that was like the beam of an olive press. Now later on, we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, well, on Motzei Shabbos to be exact, we'll learn, and on Daf Chofei, what exactly the point of comparison is. It doesn't mean the size, but Gemara is going to point out there are in fact snakes out there that are as large as the beam of an olive press. It means the Gemara is going to call it Toruf, and we're going to have several different explanations of the Rishonim, what Toruf means exactly, so we'll discuss it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. But the point is that, so the Ram gives two possibilities. One, a beam of an olive press, the beam of an olive press is what you use to crush the olives. You put the olives into a vat, and then you crush them using a heavy beam, so that beam would, of course, be fairly large and heavy. And then we're going to see later on, when we talk about the meaning of Toruf, that it had certain characteristics to them, which now this person is comparing the snake to. So the Gemara is going to explain, it doesn't mean the size, it's not a neder havai to say that, because in fact there are snakes that large. So rather, the Gemara is going to explain that there's something else in which he's comparing, as far as the shape, or as far as there are grooves in it, whatever. We'll talk about tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, the details of what Toruf means. In any case, the point is, So the Ram gives two explanations. One is that the Mishnah is telling us two different cases because they're actually two different things. The Olam Mitzrayim is an example of Guzma. He did see a large number of people. It wasn't anywhere near 600,000, but he's exaggerating and says that it was. The second case, the Ram says, given that later on the Gemara is going to establish that there's no such thing as a snake that is like a Kodesh Beis Habad in the sense that we're going to talk about there, then therefore it's not just an exaggerated Shavua, it's not a Neder, it's a useless neder. He's making a neder about something that doesn't actually exist. So therefore, the Mishnah would be telling us either of those are examples of Nidrei Havai. Then the Ran goes on to say, maybe not, actually. And the Ran points out the reason why these are not valid nedarim, the reason why, let's say, the fruit or whatever it is that he said in the neder doesn't become aser, because obviously he didn't really mean to aser it to himself, otherwise he would have said it without any condition. The fact that he says an exaggerated condition, or the fact that he says a lying condition, then he says actually no. So there's two different things. When he sees the people, it would have to at least be that he did see a large crowd of people. Then we could say that he exaggerated and considered them Ka'ulam Islam. On the other hand, with the Nachash, it wouldn't have to even be that he saw such a snake at all, because such a snake doesn't exist. So therefore, there's nothing that he could have exaggerated to say that these payers should be also, if I didn't see such a snake. We just consider it, he's just saying useless words, in other words. Then the Ran goes on to say that maybe not, actually, maybe even with the snake, we could say that it's a type of guzma as well. Anyway, so those are examples of Nidrei Havai. So the Gemara said, now, the next piece of Gemara from here until the end over here, we actually have two different girsos among the Rishonim, what's going on over here. So first, I guess we'll do the girsa as we have it in front of us in the Gemara, but the Ran has a completely different girsa. So if it starts out, Tona Nidrei Havai Mutorin, Shvuas Havai Asurin. Now, we're saying in our Mishnah that a neder of Havai is mutter, and it's not considered a valid neder. However, a shvua of Havai, a useless shvua, or an exaggerated shvua, would be osur. Because a shvua, after all, is a... So there, this is the Rosh has this girsa, for example. So we'll explain according to the Rosh to start with. So a shvua is more chomer. After all, we learned before by shvua, it says lo yinaka Hashem. Sometimes even a shvua involves Hashem's name. So therefore, shvua havai would be osur. So the item would be osur. So the Gemara asks, heichi domi shvua havai. Well, we have to ask, what exactly is a shvua havai? Are we talking about where instead of like this in the Mishnah he said konam im loyra isi baderach hazeh, instead he says shvua im loyra isi baderach hazeh. He says a shvua if I didn't see on this road. Well, then how is that a shvua? Midam kamar. Did he say anything? He says a shvua that I didn't see such and such. Well, in fact, he didn't see such and such. So what's the problem? That's not a shvua sabai. He's actually swearing truthfully. He's saying, I swear that I did not see on this road Ka'ulam Mitzrayim. Well, he didn't see on this road Ka'ulam Mitzrayim. So what's the problem?
It's a valid shvua.
He's saying if a shvua that I did not see such and such. Well, he didn't see such and such, so it's a true shvua. You can't call it shvua shavai. Nothing happens. That's the question. So what do we mean asurim? Omer Abaya. So Abaya says the Omer shvua shereis. So Abaya says what it means is that he says a shvua that I did see, but that I did see Ka'ulam Mitzrayim. Well, then he's over on a shvua shrug. Because the fact is, he didn't see 600,000 people. Well, omale rova in kain lomali the meimar v'oid. In that case, then omlomali the meimar. First of all, in that case, why would we even need to say that? Why would we even need a braisa to tell us that such a thing is osur? Of course, we know you're not allowed to swear a false shvua. After all, you don't have a heter to, you don't have a heter for shvuos because this is exaggeration. Nedarim, fine. Nedarim are not as serious as shvuos, so a person can make a neder with an exaggeration. But a shvua, we know a person is taken not allowed to make a shvua. That is a shvuos shav, that's a false shvua. So if he says a shvua that I saw 600,000 people and he did not, then yeah, he's over on shvuos shav, but then there's no chidush in the braisa for telling us that. The oid, and furthermore, Rava says there's another reason you can't say that's what the braisa means. Dumya de neder katani. After all, it has to be similar to a neder. If he just says a shvua that I saw this number of people, then yes, it's a shvua shrug, but it's not similar to a neder. He's not answering anything. Is he? So we can say he's over on a shvua shrug, but after all, if we're contrasting it with a neder, we're saying a neder havai is mutter, a shvua havai is osir, then it has to be that there's a similarity between them. In both cases, he's saying, along with it, something that should be also to him. In our Mishnah, he said, these payers should be koinam to me if I didn't see such and such. And in the Braisa, then it sounds like he also have to be saying, a shvua that such and such should be also if I saw Ka'ul Mitzrayim, if I didn't see Ka'ul Mitzrayim. So what's going on? Ella Omar Rava, so that's what Rava says. But Omer, we have to be talking about that the person says, you also payers ha'olam alai b'shvua, that the Paris of the whole world should be also to meet with a Shavua, which is a little loose of a way of saying it. I mean, Shavua is actually, he'd really be saying, I am also in all the Paris of the world, because we said before, Shavua is on the person. If I did not see Ka'ul Mitzrayim on this road. So that would be, in other words, the Mishnah is telling us that if he says, a konam, these payrus are also to me, if I did not see Ka'ul Mitzrayim, then we say the payrus aren't also to him, because it's only an exaggeration. Nidre Habai. But the Braisa would be telling us, says Rava, that if you did the same thing with a Shavua, if you say a Shavua, that I will be also in all the payrus of the world, if I did not see Ka'ul Mitzrayim, well, since he did not, in fact, see Ka'ul Mitzrayim, then yes, those are going to be also to him. That's what the Braisa means, that Shavuos Havai are also. So that's all.
Which means he'll be also.
So it means that he'll be also to have those payrus, unless he's mad to the Shavua. So that's all. He specifies a number, right. Now, that's all according to the Rosh's Gersa. Now, the Ran has a completely different Gersa, which is, his Gersa starts off, that Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Kishem Shemidre Havai Mutorin, Kach Shvos Havai Mutoris. The opposite of the first Gersa. The first Gersa was we were contrasting and saying Nidorim, Nidre Havai Mutor, Shvos Havai Osir. According to the Ran's Gersa, we're saying both of them are in fact Mutor. A Shvos Havai would also be Mutor. So now we have to ask, Heifidomi, what's the scenario? Heifidomi, Shvos Havai, what is the scenario? If he says a shvua that I did not see on this road, Ka'ul Mitzrayim, again, like in the first Gersa, you would say, Midan Kama, did he say anything? On the contrary, what he said was a useless shvua, was a false shvua. Yotze shvua la sheker. So it means, in other words, that it's a shvua. It's not really sheker, the Ran says. It's a loshen that has no mashmos. It has no meaning. Because he's saying, a shvua that I did not see the number of people who left Mitzrayim. Well, he didn't see the number of people who left Mitzrayim. It is a true shvua, but it's trivially true. It's not really a shvua that counts for anything. Because, of course, the fact is he didn't see that many people. So why would the Braisa need to be telling us that it's not chal? There's nothing for it to be chal on. Amar Abaya, so now in the Ram's Gersa, Abaya says, Amar Shvua Shereisi. We're talking about he says a Shvua that I did see Ka'ul Mitzrayim. So now we're saying not only with Nedarim do we consider that people exaggerate, even with Shvuas, even though Shvuas are much more stringent, much more severe, nevertheless we still say that it's only a Shvuas Havai and it's not a problem. Now, on the other hand, though, the point would be, though, on the other hand, the second example of the Mishnah, where he says about a snake that's like a beam of an olive press used to crush the olives in an olive press, that would be different, because that kind of thing, again, the Ran drew a distinction before, that the Olam Mitzrayim is an exaggeration, but the Nochash Kekoras based about is a flat out lie because no such snakes exist. So then we can't say that. Then we can't say that he's just exaggerating. Then we would say it is a real false shvur. If he says a shvur that I saw of a snake Kekoras based about, then that would be considered a false shvur, and he'd be getting malchus for that. But then Rav Amalei Rava, but Rava says in Cain, Imkain, so if the Braisa is saying that he made a shavua that he saw the number of people for Yotze Mitzrayim, of course, we know that people exaggerate like that. Lomali Lamema, why do we need to say it? So in the first Girsa, we were saying, why do we need to say it? Because we're saying it's definitely a false shavua, no question about that, and the Braisa doesn't need to tell us that false shavuas are also. In the Ran's Girsa, we're saying the other way around. Since his Girsa is shavuas habayim mutaris, fakir, we know that people exaggerate. People will exaggerate even when it comes to shavuas. So how can the Braisa be telling us that? How can the Braisa be telling us or why is the Braisa telling us that Shavuos Havaya Mutter, shouldn't it be obvious that it's Mutter? Because it's very clear that it's just an exaggeration. But Oid, and furthermore, Jumi the Neder Katani. Furthermore, it's like a Neder. The Braisa is comparing it to a Neder. So we have to say, just like with a Neder, he's saying on the face of it that something is also to him, and we're still saying it's Mutter because it's only a Guzma. The same way would have to be in the Braisa. If it's just that he's saying a Shavuah that I saw, and not attaching that to anything, then there's nothing for us to talk about, whether it's also or Mutter. So rather, Rava says, we are talking about a Shavua that he says, that if he's saying a Shavua that I didn't see, so we don't have to change the wording of our Mishnah, but the same way, so here's another point that the Ran has over here in the Gemara, adding it in. After all, didn't Rav Amram say in the name of Rav? That we're going to have an example later on in the parak. We're going to talk about another example of Nidre Oinsin. We talk about on Amar Aleph where you have an Oinus because you can't fulfill the Neder. Now you have a different kind of Nidre Oinsin, namely where the person is being forced to swear a Neder by tax collectors or something, and if he doesn't, he has to back it up with a Neder. So he says, Ye Osir Peres Olam Alayim Enam Shal Beis HaMelech. He's saying that a Neder, all the payers in the world should be also to me. If this produce that you see over here that you want to take does not already belong to the king, so that Mishnah later on is talking about a Shavua. So Hochinami, so Rava says the same thing. But Omer, our Mishnah, our Braisa rather is talking about. But Omer, your Osir payers are Olam Alay B'Shavua. He's saying I'm making a Shavua that all fruit in the world should be also to me. If I did not see Ka'ul Mitzrayim on this road. So now, the point is, in other words, the Braisa is saying, now, if he had sworn, so if he had sworn that he saw Nachash Kodas Beis Habad, then it would be a false Shavua. And if he had sworn that he saw Ka'ulam Mitzrayim, it would be a useless Shavua, and there's no Chiddush, that there's no problem with that. But the point is, even here, he adds to it that Paris will be also to me, nevertheless, still not a real Shavua, so he's not over on Shavua's Shav. Because again, he wouldn't have said a Tanai. That's not true. If he had meant that, so the same way as later on, he's saying a Shavua only in order to get the tax collector off his back. The same way over here, he's saying a Shavua of something which is not really actually true, something which is only exaggerated, or something which maybe is not true at all. And we say then that, and we're saying that nevertheless, if the thing is Mutter, the fruit does not in fact become Osir. It doesn't mean Mutter as in allowed to make a Shavua, but Mutter in the sense that the fruit does not in fact become Osir to him. We don't say, well, you acid food on you because he attached it to a condition which is either exaggerated or non-existent. So that's according to the Ram. That's according to the Ram's Girsa.
So it doesn't matter if it's a Shavua.
So now, according to the Ram's Girsa, it doesn't matter Shavua or Neder. Either way, the same way as Nidre Havaya Mutter, so a Shavua Savai. Meaning Mutter, not in the sense that you're allowed to do it, but Mutter in the sense the object does not become also. And then again, according to the Rosh's Girsa, which was the first Girsa that we said, was the other way around. Shavuos are more stringent than Nidorim, and therefore, in such a case, even though with Nidorim, we would say it's only Nidre Havai, and the fruit doesn't become Osir, but in the case of a Shavua, we would in fact say that it becomes Osir. And we would give him Malchus if he ate the fruit, just like if he's over on any Nidre, right? So we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and discuss, why don't we say, we're going to discuss tomorrow, Beis Hashem, can a person claim that he has his own definitions of words, and therefore that his neder or shvur was based on that personal definition that he gave, rather than an objective definition that we would all agree to. So we're going to discuss that. So then we could say a reason that he's potter. Let's say, for example, we could argue, the Gemara is going to start off, for example, we're saying in our Mishnah that he says that I saw, or I didn't see, Ka'ul Mitzrayim, and it's impossible to see 600,000 people. But what if, for example, the Gemara is going to talk about, let's say he saw a huge number of ants, and he's calling them, he's saying that I saw, Ka'ul Mitzrayim, I saw 600,000 ants. Would that work? Could we say that maybe we could, would maybe then, in other words, the truth to what he's saying. So we're going to discuss that in the Gemara tomorrow, Beis Hashem.
Well,
That's the point. That's why the Mishnah is calling it Nidre Havai. It's the point that because you can't see 600,000 people at one time, even if there were 600,000 people over there, you're not going to see them all at one time. Therefore, that's an example of Nidre Havai. And now again, you have the... Right, you're not going to go and count exactly, and you can't really see that many people together anyhow. Right, so that's why we're calling it Nidre Havai. So now the question is, according to the different Girsois, so the Rosh versus the Ran over here, are we saying the same thing would be also as far as Shavuos, or would we say that in the case of, even if he made a Shavua with such a thing, it would also be Mutter? The object, the fruit, or whatever would be Mutter, yeah.
So now we have to assume that Kareelian time, Dafka means, maybe it means everyone has a pepper on his hand.
So that we're going to include in the Gemara tomorrow. Do we say that we go according to the objective definition, meaning when people hear Ka'ulam Mitzrayim, the general assumption is that it means the number of people, or can he claim, like you're saying, that maybe it means the way they're walking, like they're walking with Pekwach on their shoulders? That's going to be included. We're going to, when we discuss on Matzah Shabbos, Bez Hashem, the next piece of Gemara will include that point as well, Bez Hashem.